Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. Well, we're continuing this morning our summer sermon series on the Ten Commandments, and today we look at the third commandment. So if you're paying close attention, you'll notice that so far we have moved in order, but that will end after this Sunday. So as Dean Michael has said, you won't know which Sundays you need to skip, right? You'll be out of order from here on out. So 2 weeks ago on Pentecost Sunday, Dean Michael teed up this series by teaching us a mnemonic device to help us learn and memorize the Ten Commandments. If you missed Pentecost Sunday, I encourage you to go back and watch it online or listen to the audio. I'm going to test you in just a minute, so be ready. Last week, Dean Michael preached on Commandments 1 and 2. So let's see if you remember, using the mnemonic device we learned a couple of weeks ago, let's see if you remember the commandments we've looked at so far. Are you ready? Okay, so I'm going to say my part, and then you say your part together, okay? So one son.
One God.
Let's try it again. Let's try it again. Let's start over. Are you ready now? Your voice warmed up? All right. One son.
One God.
There we go. Two, shoe.
No.
I love it. I just did the picture of Liam holding the, not Liam, Alex holding, sorry, confusing the brothers. Alex holding the shoe up in the air. Two, shoe, no idols. And today's the third commandment. So are you ready? Three, cheese. Now, I have heard from some of you that this is the one that you're having trouble remembering. So do you remember the picture of the cheese in the air? You have to remember that it's Swiss cheese. That's important. Okay, so let's try it again. Three cheese.
Name holy.
There we go. Three cheese, name holy. So here's the way that the third commandment reads in Exodus chapter 20. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So what does this mean? To take the name of the Lord your God in vain. To not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. I was taught growing up that this means that we can't speak or use God's name in any vulgar or obscene way. Maybe that's what you were taught growing up as well. If so, that's definitely true. That's definitely true. But I believe that's only scratching the surface of what's really going on in the third commandment. So I've been reading over the past few weeks this book by Old Testament scholar Carmen Joy Imes that I would highly recommend. And she helped me understand how that's only scratching the surface of all that's going on in this commandment. The name of the book is Bearing God's Name, Why Sinai Still Matters. There's one copy in the library, so you can all rush and fight for that copy. So the third commandment is about the words we say, but it's about more than that, too. The third commandment is actually a high challenge invitation into a whole new way of being, living with an entirely new purpose, which is a pretty big statement. So let's dig in to the third commandment and see what's going on here. Like with all of Scripture, to really begin to dig in, we need to zoom out and understand some of the context of what's happening. So the Ten Commandments are first listed, they first show up in Exodus chapter 20. So what's the context here? Exodus chapter 20. So God had just miraculously rescued and redeemed his people from slavery and oppression in Egypt. Now the order here is of vital importance. God rescues and redeems his people from slavery and oppression, and then he gives them his law. He tells them how they should live. Do you see that very important order of events? God doesn't rescue and redeem his people because of their stellar obedience. God doesn't rescue or redeem his people because of their faithfulness. God doesn't love his people because of all of the good things that they're doing. No, God loves his people, period. God loves his people, period. So he shows up and rescues them. He saves them. He delivers them. And then he teaches them, this is how you should now live. So do you see the grace here in the book of Exodus? And the same grace is available to you as well. So listen to this. This is the thing that if you hear nothing else, hear this. God doesn't love you because of what you do. God doesn't love you because of how you perform. God loves you, period. Do you hear that? God loves you, period. So you don't have to clean yourself up first and then come to Jesus. No, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. In him, there is cleanliness. In him, there's forgiveness of sin. So run to Jesus. There's grace available for you as well. And then, as we come to Jesus, he's going to invite us into this new way of being, this new way of living. So God leads his people out of Egypt. They cross the Red Sea miraculously, and then they journey south to the area of Mount Sinai. And it's here at Mount Sinai that God gives his people the Ten Commandments through his servant Moses. So do you know how long the people are camped here at Mount Sinai? A year, a full year. That's a long time to be camping somewhere, a full year. Do you know how many chapters of the Bible, specifically the first five books of the Bible, which is called the Torah, how many chapters of the Torah are dedicated to this year at Mount Sinai? 57 chapters. And this is really fun. You can see the image on the screen if you can see it well. Those 57 chapters make up the exact middle, center of these first five books of the Bible, the Torah. So Old Testament scholar Carmen Joy Imes calls the Sinai narratives, these 57 books, the crown jewel, the center of focus of the first five books of the Bible. So what's going on here, Exodus 19 through Numbers 10, is of the utmost importance. This is the centerpiece that Moses wants you to see. And I believe that out of all that's going on here, the centerpiece, these very important 57 chapters, all that's going on can be summed up in Commandments 1, 2, and 3. Commandments 1 and 2, this is who I am. Worship me alone. Do not worship any god or idol before me. And then commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. So what does commandment number 3 mean? Like I said, it's so much bigger than not saying God's name as an expletive. So the Hebrew word behind this English translation, take, means to lift up or to carry or to bear. But what does it mean to lift up a name? That's kind of confusing. So the translators of our English Bibles use words like, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. You shall not make wrongful use of the name of the Lord your God. They focus in on our speech because that's what we do with names. We say them. But there's actually a lot more going on with this Hebrew word. But I need to pause a little bit of an aside. I need you to know that our translations of the Bible in English are excellent and good and reliable and trustworthy. Sometimes, though, it's helpful to have guides to help you dig deeper. This is why good preaching is really important. This is why showing up and participating in Bible studies is really important. This is why participating in our spiritual growth classes here at Holy Cross is really important, so that you can have reliable and faithful guides to help us go deeper. So what's going on with this Hebrew word? Do not take, do not lift up the name of the Lord your God in vain. This same word shows up a few chapters later in Exodus chapter 28. Stick with me here. This is kind of Bible nerd stuff. I love this. This is really important. So Exodus chapter 28, when we see this word here, we understand what it's getting at. So in Exodus chapter 28, God, through Moses, is giving instructions about what the priests of Israel were to wear. They have special garments that they wear. Priests wear special clothing that have meaning and significance. Another side note, this is one reason why I appreciate and love our Anglican tradition. Because the same is true for us today. The priests and all the clergy wear special garments that have meaning and significant, just like the priests in Israel. So one of the garments in Exodus chapter 28 is the outer layer worn over the priest's chest. You can see it here, the breast piece worn over the priest's chest. Do you see? It's got four rows of three stones. I'm working on multiplication with my kids, so that's what just popped into my head. So 4 times 3 equals 12. So the priest's breast piece has 12 stones, which represent, 12 is an important number in the Bible, represents the 12 tribes of Israel, all of God's people. So keep the image up for a little bit and listen to Exodus chapter 28, verse 29. Whenever Aaron enters the holy place, the place where God's presence dwells, this hot spot for God's presence, when Aaron enters the holy place, he will bear the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breast piece. There's that word again. He will bear, he will wear, he will lift up, he will carry the names of the sons of Israel over his heart on the breast piece. So here's what's going on here. When the priest enters into God's presence, he represents, he carries with him all of Israel before the Lord. So are you with me? A few verses later, keep the image up because there's another piece I want to point out, this same word shows up. And it's describing something that we see on the priest's forehead. You can't really see it there, but at the bottom of the turban, there's a little bit of a gold strip. And the text tells us in Exodus chapter 28 that Aaron, the priest, shall bear the name of Yahweh on his forehead. He shall bear the name of Yahweh on his forehead. So inscribed on the gold piece of the turban, there is the name of Yahweh. In other words, what's going on here is that Aaron, the priest, is representing God. He's bearing God's name before the people. He's carrying God's name literally marked on his forehead before the people. So this is the key. Do you see what's going on with this word here, this Hebrew word? We're called to bear God's name, to carry God's name, to lift up God's name. We're called, just like the priest, to be God's representative on earth, representing God to all people, to all nations. So do not bear the name of the Lord your God in vain. Do not misrepresent the name of the Lord your God. So I want you to see that this is really big. It does include the words that we say, absolutely, but it's so much bigger than that. It's a whole new way of being, a whole new way of living. So now do you see how these first three commandments flow? God is instructing his people. This is who I am. I'm the one who redeemed you and rescued you, called you out of slavery in Egypt. I'm the one who's ultimately powerful. Worship me alone, God is saying to his people. Worship me alone. Don't worship any other idols. Worship me alone and represent me well. And so then the people may be wondering, well, how? What does it look like to represent you well to the nations? Good question. The rest of the Ten Commandments. Remember the Sabbath. Honor your parents. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't lie. Do not covet. Bear my name well. Represent me well. Now, all of these laws were given to God's covenant people in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament. But now, through Jesus, you, we, church, anyone who has their faith in Jesus, we're the covenant people of God. So the third commandment and all of the commandments are true for us as well. They're not suggestions. They're not tips. These are commandments from God that have weight and significance in our lives as the covenant people of God through Jesus. So God is calling you, God is calling us to represent him well. Just like Aaron, as priest, represented Yahweh to the people, we, church, the New Testament calls us a holy priesthood, a people who are made holy through the work of Jesus. In fact, let me connect some more dots here. This makes me really excited. It's really cool. Do you remember the seal that's on Aaron's forehead? The seal that's on his forehead, bearing the name of Yahweh, representing the Lord to the nations. As Anglicans, If you've been part of our tradition for a while, this may bring something else to mind. Do you remember in our baptism service? It's my favorite part of our baptism liturgy. When the officiant marks the newly baptized, anoints the newly baptized with oil, and makes the sign of the cross on his or her forehead, marking this new member of the covenant family of God, and saying these words, "You are sealed by the Holy Spirit in baptism and marked. You are marked as Christ's own forever." So if you are in Jesus, then you bear the mark of Jesus. We walk day by day, hour by hour, as his representatives in the world. This is a theme that's all over the place in Scripture. And once you see it, you can't unsee it. In Revelation chapter 22, there's a picture of our future hope. This new creation, this restored Eden. Remember the Garden of Eden in Genesis chapters 1 through 3? This restored Eden, this new Jerusalem, God's good creation, filled with his people and filled with his own glorious presence. And here's what Revelation 22 says about that future day, about us, about the people in Jesus who are in the presence of God. Revelation 22, verse 4. They will see the face of the Lord, and his name will be on their foreheads. They will see the face of the Lord, and his name will be on their foreheads. You bear the mark of the Lord if you are in Christ. So remember who God is. Don't worship anything else above God. And bear his name well. Represent him well. Paul says it this way in Colossians chapter 3. Whatever you do or say, do it as a representative of the Lord Jesus. This is the third commandment. This is what we're invited, what we're called, what we're commanded to live into. And so my question for you is, how's it going? How are you doing representing our Lord to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to your coworkers? How's it going? I want to read just a short paragraph from this book. I read this a few nights ago, and it cut me to the core. I was convicted. So here's what she writes, Carmen Joy Imes, in Bearing God's Name. She says, "One afternoon several years ago, I was grocery shopping with the kids." She has a couple of small kids. "We made it back to the car, and I was trying to get everything loaded up. I'd asked the kids to go in their seats and get buckled up, but they were moving slow as molasses." I can relate to that. "They were bickering with each other. I went to put the shopping cart away, and when I came back, they still weren't in their seats. So I completely lost it." This is Carmen Joy Imes speaking, not me, okay? She says, "I completely lost it. What is wrong with you? Did you not hear me? Get in your seats this instant. This is ridiculous. I slammed the van door and turned around just in time to see the secretary from the kids' school." She goes on to say how they were committed to living as missionaries in their city. She volunteered regularly at school. She was building friendships with all the staff. And here's this secretary. When I read that, it convicted me so much because I have many experiences exactly like that one. The most recent maybe is, so I have to say this first, nothing can squash my patience quite like my children, right? And I don't lose my patience often. I rarely raise my voice except with my children. And so there was a moment not too long ago when, similarly to Carmen Joy Imes, I just lost it. And I was in my son's room, and We just had a moment, I'll say that. And I guess it was a beautiful spring day because in the midst of that, I noticed that his window was open. And right outside of the window is our neighbor who's hearing his priest neighbor unloading on his son, right? So how's it going for you? Do you have moments like that? We're called to represent God. We're called to bear his mark. But here's the thing. We won't do it perfectly. So remember as we study the Ten Commandments, remember grace. Grace. It's not just a New Testament thing. It's not just a thing that Jesus came to bring. Grace is all over the pages of Scripture. Grace is intrinsic to God's character. God loves you. God loves me in my best moments and in my worst moments. And the same is true for you. God loves you. So bear his name well, and in the moments when we fail, run to Jesus again for forgiveness. And as we run to Jesus again and again and again for forgiveness, let that not be an excuse, but let that spur us on to obeying him all the more. We obey God in response to his lavish grace and love for us. We want to live in obedience as followers of Jesus. So in a moment, we're going to confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed. And then today, we're going to use the words of the Ten Commandments in a prayerful way, in a penitent way. Because the Ten Commandments, one of the gifts, there are a lot of gifts of the Ten Commandments, but one of the gifts of the Ten Commandments is that they invite us to look inside. As I've studied and prepared, I looked back and noticed moments like that in my life when I don't represent the Lord well, when I don't bear his name well. So the commandments invite us to self-assess, to self-reflect, as the 12-step movement says, to do a searching and fearless moral inventory of yourself. So in a few moments, we're going to prayerfully read through the words of the Ten Commandments and confess the ways that we fall short. We're going to turn to Jesus together, confess our sin, hear that we have forgiveness, assurance of forgiveness in Jesus, so that we can live more and more in his commandments. So bear the name of the Lord your God well. Do not bear the name of the Lord your God in vain. And when we fail, may he have grace upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.